Blind Cool Tech, September 14, 2006.
Blind Cool Tech, where it's fun.
Well, I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay?
Technology,
the world is anybody there.
And blindness.
Ah, oh, God, who put that wall there?
Can all come together.
Hey, y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Wow, it's been a long time since I've talked with you guys, and I don't know quite what to call this episode. I need to talk with you more often. I've got just too much to say. So we're going to try to get through a few topics. Maybe we'll call this Nymus, Dallas, maybe clotheslines, or maybe we'll call it awareness. So let's go ahead and get started. Let me just catch you up on what I've been up to. Actually just got back from a meeting in Dallas. Was there for 3 days. And my sister lives there, so I got to see her and go have dinner with her. That's right, you guys met my sister last year. We did the Dallas carriage ride and talked to Slim at the Fudgery and had some good songs and stuff. We didn't really go out and do any tourism things this time, but did get to go have dinner with her, and I always love to see my sister Kaka. She's the best. She's always so so cheerful and bright and just a pleasure to be around her. I love you, Kaka. She reminded me, I think I guess last time I talked with her or whatever, I must have been a terrible brother. Because she reminded me that I used to hold her down and let the dog lick her face. I can't believe I would do a thing like that, but I don't think Kaka would make that up either. So, anyway, had a great time visiting with Care, and just really, really productive meetings about the National Instructional Materials Accessibility Standard. And we talked about that last year. In fact, we did an interview with Skip Stahl and Chuck Hitchcock, who are a couple of the principals at CAST, which is Center for Applied Special Technology, I believe, in Massachusetts there, right outside of Boston, I guess. And they, as part of CAST, this website, by the way, is cast.org, and the Nymus stuff is specifically at nymus.cast.org. And they obtained a grant a few years back to push for a national file format for the distribution of textbooks. And this is starting out as a K-12 initiative. And the idea is, to put things in very simple terms, the goal, of course, is to have files available to make creating an accessible version of a textbook faster and easier. So, the file format, the committee spent a while developing what they considered to be the best file format to facilitate the transformation to accessible forms of textbooks. So a braille one, a large print one, digital one. And turns out that the file format that we selected is DAISY. ANSI NISO DAISY 2005, to be exact, Z3986. And I can't tell you how important a legislation this is. And essentially what it boils down to is that publishers of textbooks are required to send a copy of that textbook to the NIMAC, the National Instructional Materials Accessibility Center. It's an online storage and delivery system, which we're actually setting up at APH, in fact, Julia Myers, who we met last year, she was involved with that. Where are you going, Jakey? So the legislation states that when a state buys a textbook, the publisher is required to deposit an electronic version of that textbook in the NIMAS format into this repository, into the NIMAC. And the idea is that state...
Frankfort Avenue.
Good boy. Oh, this guy's not going to stop. Jeez. That's crazy. Hi. That guy run a light back there?
Yeah,
jeez. So this when a state purchases a textbook, the publisher files or deposits a copy of this book into the NIMAC, and then the state agencies can get the book and perform whatever they need to do the braille or the large printer or even an electronic version or to record it. They may, you know, in the case of an organization like RFB&D, they may take this book and, you know, make an audio digital talking book out of it. But the idea is that these files will be available as soon as the print's available. As soon as humanly possible. So that the conversion house, the place that's making the braille book or the digital talking book, can have, you know, time to prepare, to work with the book, and hopefully get it to the student in a timely manner, hopefully at the same time as the sighted kids get their books. So it's very, very important legislation, and I can't emphasize enough how important it is, and hopefully it will expand. I'm sure it will, beyond just K through 12. Into the college level textbooks, and we are talking textbooks here. So, been the legislation actually just passed on July 19th. Should have done a commemorative podcast on that date, because it is certainly a momentous one. Good boy, little buddy. That's it. So we spent a couple of days there working out. Oh, you would not believe the issues. And we, I mean, technical people, education people, publishers, all the people that have anything to do with making this happen. Department of Education was there. All right, little buddy. Good doggy. I'm stopping to let Jake relieve himself. I was telling Julia that first day we had the meetings, we were pretty much in meetings from 8 o'clock in the morning till 9 that night. And I never did make it back up to my room. And I was telling her I had forgot about getting Jake some water. The poor guy. I really feel bad about that. I mean, I let him out. And, you know, usually I would go to the room, like, maybe at lunch or after the meeting at 5 or whatever. But it, I must tell you, I actually quit or stopped smoking cigarettes. And I've been very successful at it. It's been about a month now, and I'm totally pleased and just amazed how easy it is. And I will tell you, and well, the reason I bring that up is that, you know, it's kind of nice to actually hang around and talk with people and instead of having to go out and suck in some nicotine and so forth. But as a consequence, I somehow didn't get Jake's water. But, so anyway, the next day, yesterday, I made sure, I used to be able to tap on the sink and get Fred to pop up there, and I'd cut my hand, and he'd just drink right there out of the sink. Jake won't do that, but, good boy, little buddy. That's it. But, so, we're in Chili's in the airport there in Dallas, and I asked the waitress for a little paper bowl, styrofoam bowl of water for Jake. So he drank one, and I gave him another one. Well, we get on the plane, and I'm thinking, this is fine. He's got plenty of water. Well, hello. Hey there. How you doing? Up. Up. Good boy. So, get out of the plane, going through the airport, stop at the men's room. I'm standing there at the urinal, and Jake is standing next to me, drinking out of the urinal next to me. Well, of course, everybody in there thought that was pretty funny. So, I guess as they were coming out of the bathroom, Julia was out there, and she heard them talking about it and knew exactly what was going on. But, so I told her I was entertaining her because I also entertained her a little earlier that day at the airport while we were in Dallas still. And what I did was, I asked her, I said, Julie, would you mind watching my bag? I'm going to go up here and go to the men's room and get some coffee. And I asked her to point my finger to where the men's room was. Well, I went past it and went down this hallway, and thinking I was going down the hallway to the men's room. And I get to the end and push this door open, which was very easy to push open. No panic bar on it or anything. Well, this alarm starts going off. So I'm back out, and there's a guy coming down the hall. And I said, well, that wasn't me that set that alarm off, was it? And he goes, yeah, in fact, you can't come back in here. Once you open that door, you have to go out and go all the way back through security, which really wasn't that far. So it's a good thing I didn't have to go too bad. So that was pretty funny, I must say. So I was able to entertain Julia. But, yeah, great meeting. We got a lot done there, and this is all going to start taking place in December 4th, I believe, is the day that the repository opens. Now, it's not just anybody can have access to these books. It's going to be the local and state educational agencies. So if you're a parent or a student, you know, you would just talk to your teacher, and presumably he or she will have the information to be able to access the NIMAG. There'll be some authorized users from each state, and they'll either get the files to you as a student or to someone who will prepare the files. Now, there's still lots and lots of questions about how all this is going to work, and a lot of things to work out, and I'm sure we'll be evolving the processes and procedures and policies over the years. But wow, what a great start, and what an interesting and innovative concept. I did get to chat with, in fact, I interviewed the Benetech folks at Bookshare.org, and I was recording it on my WS on the Olympus, and for some reason it didn't record. That thing's been acting a little squirrely. I may have to reformat it. You know, Bookshare is another one of those things, as I mentioned to Jim. Well, did I say I've talked to Jim Fruchterman, Janice Carter, and Jennifer Sutton, who's working at Benetech now. And I sincerely believe that Bookshare.org is one of those technologies that has had more influence on the lives of blind people than almost anything. I mean, you cannot imagine the power to be able to access, well, almost 30,000 books now. And as we were talking, I hope Janice doesn't kill me for this, but she did mention that if you send her an email at janice.c@benetech.org, mention Larry, she will give you a discount on your membership, like half price. So it's normally $50 a year, or, well, I think this is just a one-time thing. She will take $25 off of it. So try her out. Even though the recording didn't take, I think, we'll try it and see if it, if she does it. She is a sweet, sweet lady. What a neat lady. What a great group of people. That Jim Fruchterman is actually one of the, probably one of the smartest people I know. And it's always interesting to talk with him. He's got his hand in a lot of different projects. And one of the things I wanted to talk with him about, because I was so excited last week when I was reading that Google released an open source OCR, optical character recognition package, which essentially means that this program, the source code is freely available for anyone to work on and contribute to or use. So it's called Tesseract, Tesseract, and anyone I've ever, or you know, most of the people I've talked to about Tesseract, the first thing is A Wrinkle in Time, and I didn't remember that reference, but sure enough. But what a Tesseract is the way I've seen it explained is a cube is to a square as a tesseract is to a cube. So it's a multi-dimensional cube, even though a cube's already multi-dimensional. But this OCR package apparently was written by Hewlett-Packard in the mid-80-ish time frame, and I believe it was University of Nevada at Las Vegas did a study of OCR packages, probably in the mid-90s maybe, and found this one to be one of the best ones. Now, that's been a long time ago, and Jim was familiar with it, as he would be, since he's, well, as he puts it, a pattern recognition guy. You know, he was involved, I think maybe even founded one of the OCR companies. Might have been CareTech. I'm not sure which one. But anyway, he didn't think it was all that great. I've tried it out, and it's... I need to actually do more tests on it, because I've... One of the things I would love to do, and Jim pointed out this actually had been done too, and I didn't realize it, but you know, I think if you had an OCR engine that was fast enough and you had a fast enough PC, I believe that actually would be an interesting approach to screen reading. So what you would essentially do is set in the background, take a snapshot of the screen a few times a second, and compare to what was up there the last time. Now, the OCR would have to be pretty accurate. I've tried, you know, doing a screen capture and running the OCR through OmniPage. I had originally tried that first to try to get through some of those CAPTCHA you know, where they say type in the characters you see in the box to try to ensure that you're a human, and the OCR didn't work on those. But what was even more disappointing was that there were quite a few errors just on a regular, like a file listing. So it is going to have to be pretty good OCR, and it's going to, good boy, that's it, going behind a car, good boy, that's it, good dog. Oh, maybe that was a fire truck. It's going to have to be pretty accurate, pretty fast. You're going to need a lot of help from the operating system in terms of some of the things maybe that MSAA and the operating system itself directly can provide, such as, you know, where the carrot is, where the location of the window that's in the foreground. That kind of thing. And you know, you would still use MSAA to tell you things, you know, which list item was selected and many, many things. But what the OCR would allow you to do is bypass the whole OSM, the off-screen model approach. So, you know, that really is the most work in a screen reader, as we've talked about on this show a few times. But the real advantage of taking this approach is that you don't have any dependencies on the particular operating system version anymore. So, for instance, we could all be using Vista right now without any modifications, you know, not having to wait for some complicated hacks to pan out, because, you know, the problem with an OSM is that you have to capture the data, and most of the time, most of the techniques used for capturing it not only are very tricky to keep up with, but you often have to do illegal things, or things that the operating system doesn't support. I don't mean illegal in terms of law, illegal in terms of supported things. And when you do unsupported things to the operating system, you're asking for it to get broken. I mean, inevitably, as a new version comes out. But the other things that would make would be an advantage about this is that you wouldn't have any issues anymore, for instance, you'll often see these PDF files that are just images of pages. So you would actually be able to read those. Other software that, you know, would never talk. I'm thinking mainly of educational type of games with lots of graphics. And, you know, sometimes they'll even have the user, all the messages are really no more than a picture of the words and so forth. So those would work well. It still would be a tremendous amount of work to make a screen reader this way, but I think if you did it right, it would also be fairly easy to make it so that it ran on multiple operating systems. One for the Linux GUI would be nice. Another alternative for the Macintosh would be great, even though the Mac's got that free screen reader, VoiceOver. Which, by the way, have you guys heard the new text-to-speech? Both on Vista, there's a new voice, Microsoft Anna, I think we talked about that. The one on the new version of the, the Macintosh, though, is just uncanny, so good. It really reminds me almost of some of the voice recordings that I've heard on some of the earlier digital talking books, where the human was just sped up just a little bit through timescale modification. So I think they're calling this next version of the Mac OS Leopard. Current one's Tiger. And I think they're also adding Braille support to it too. There was a little clip Steve Jobs was demonstrating and comparing the voice of the current Macintosh voice, and then that's going to be coming out in Vista, and then that coming out for the new version of the Mac OS. Might want to do a Google and search for that. It's definitely worth checking out. So anyway, that's why I was wanting to play around with Tesseract, and actually have got a lot of other great uses for it. Hey, good. How you doing? The whole idea, the Kurzweil reader, you know, with this OCR package being open source, you in theory could compile this on your cell phone or on a PDA with a camera in it. Now, I can guarantee you it's not going to be anywhere near what the Kurzweil reader is doing, but it sure would be interesting to play with. And, you know, as Jim Fruchterman pointed out, maybe this OCR isn't the absolute best right now, but Google is hiring at least one engineer to work on it full-time, probably more. And hopefully there'll be other people in the community that can work on it. Now, right now, this thing, Tesseract, is actually just a command line program that you pass it the name of your image file. It doesn't even scan right now, just OCRs, image files. Because, you know, as with any complex programming task, you break up the work into different parts. So anyway, it's a command line. So you give it the name of the file, name of the file you want to create, and then a configuration file that sets up parameters and so forth. So it's not a user friendly full type of application yet, but it's certainly something most valuable that Google has put into the open source community, and something I hope we can all take advantage of. I expect that they probably would like to be using it for their books project. Good boy, little buddy. Boy, you know what? It is good to be home. I don't mind traveling, and you know, every time I do, I think of things we need to talk about with traveling, and I never do it. But one of the things I wanted to throw your way is this idea of being able to, not have to worry about leaving things behind. And I've come up with a technique for doing that, and maybe like to hear some of you guys' ideas on that too, or different ways you do it. But essentially, what it boils down to is, good boy, little buddy, good doggy. Essentially, what it boils down to is taking your clothes out of your suitcase and putting them, either hanging them up or putting them in the drawers or whatever. And then, as each day, as you are through with those clothes, you just pack them right, pack the dirty ones right into your suitcase. So you, I know it's not any kind of rocket science or anything, but it's amazing how that helps. And you know, the idea is you keep, you know, as much as you can in that suitcase. I've lived like right out of my suitcase a lot of times, but this, you know, emptying the suitcase and then using it, filling it up gradually over the days is a really excellent way, I think, to ensure that you've got all your stuff. Good boy, little buddy. Gosh, what else? Oh, yeah, I'm totally amazed by Jake. This was a big hotel, and a lot of meeting rooms, and it was very nice to be able to walk right out of that meeting room, go over to the men's room, go over outside, get back to the room without any hassles at all. I mean, just straight to it. What do we got here? Sidewalk tore up. Probably putting in some, good boy, some utilities for this house we're building here. That's it, little buddy. And then the same thing, for going up to the room, out of the elevator, straight to the room. And it was not a trivial route to get to that room either. So I gotta thank you, Jakey. And then I pay you for all that good work by not giving you any water one day. What is the matter with you, Larry? Alright, we need to start drawing this to a close. I've got to talk with you guys more, because I've just got too much to say, and I just don't have time to say it all. I did want to answer a question. Sam Britton sent in a voicemail, and essentially asking, you know, how come you don't see the files when you upload them to the FTP site? They're there. We chose not to show them so that, well, you know, when we were having trouble with the little hacker guy putting up a bunch of illegal software, or, well, it was legal software, but illegally duplicated. So that was our way of getting around that. But yeah, just copy and paste it over there, and it should be there. Many of you have asked about what's going on with the neighbor, and nothing really. I'll have to tell you the latest. I have concluded from it, though, that you know, there's no need really in me trying to hold out the olive branch or to do anything, because we're talking about irrational behavior here. Okay, well, we are home. Our 40 minutes has too quickly come to an end. And I'm still doing projects around here. So I will talk to you guys soon. Y'all have a great one. Hi, little buddy. Where's Fredsters? You're a good dog, Jakesters. Ready?
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com. And our comment line is 206-984-9203.
Hey, little buddy. Where's Fredsters?